الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. First and foremost, I would like to apologize to all the brothers who had been anticipating the khutbah translations. As I explained many times before, it is beyond my control. It's not negligence, carelessness. Every time I miss a Friday here, I feel extremely guilty that we have not been able to communicate. But I have valid reasons why I'm unable to show up on these previous Fridays without explaining what the reasons are. I'm sure you believe me, inshallah, or you should believe me as a brother in Islam. The Shaykh, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve him and reward him with goodness for his efforts, dealt with a very sensitive subject matter this particular Friday. And it is a topic dealing with women, al-mar'a, in Arabic. He began the khutbah by mentioning that humankind has not known a single religion or culture or civilization that was more careful and had designated adequate importance to the woman like Islam. No civilization, no religion, no culture, nothing has given the woman rights which were suitable for her except Islam, the religion which we all adhere to, inshallah ta'ala. When we speak about the woman, we find that Islam had given her a lofty status in this society. He made her head always lifted, and she has, we hold awe to some extent to the woman in Islam. They are not belittled as it is the case in other religions. She is a respected individual. She has rights which are due to her, and she has obligations which are expected of her. Islam looked at the woman as shaqiqatul rajul, or in other words, a man's brother, in a sense, or a man's sister, as in they have equal obligations in the sight of Allah. So she's equal. What is intended is equality. She's equal to men in this aspect. In terms of their relationship with Allah, she becomes like everything in Islam which was obliged upon the men to follow, was also obliged upon the women, except in areas where Islam made a distinction between men and women. But generally speaking, if the text, for example, in Islam, in the Quran and the Sunnah, does not indicate that this is strictly for men or strictly for women, then the ruling applies to both genders, even if the wording of the hadith or the ayah may be addressing the men, because the Prophet ﷺ explained that they are equal to men in this particular fashion. For example, Allah says in the Quran, and whoever works righteousness, min dhakarin aw untha, whether male or female, while they are believers, then verily those shall enter Jannah and will not be oppressed the least bit. So Allah specified men and women. If they fulfill the rights of Allah in terms of belief and do righteous deeds, both have been guaranteed Jannah equally. In fact, Islam had bestowed upon the woman something that was not found in any other religion. The Prophet ﷺ had mentioned in the hadith, which we have to confirm authenticity, that whoever has a female and he does not bury her alive, known as wa'dul banat. You know, this is an act that was done during the times of Jahiliyyah, where women will be born to a family. They didn't really entertain women too much, so they will bury them alive. So Islam prohibited that act, which was done among the Quraishis and others during the time of Jahiliyyah. He does not bury her alive. He does not insult her, and he does not favor his boy over that girl. He shall enter Jannah. Islam, in fact, had given women particular directives with which she's able to live or lead a noble life, and she's able to accommodate those who live with her in the society. As a young girl, as a newborn baby, she has rights. In Sahih Muslim, from the hadith of Anas, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever takes care of two young girls, he will come on the day of judgment with me like this. Meaning he will be in the company of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, due to him giving special care for upbringing these two young girls. In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever has three daughters and he's patient over them, he feeds them correctly, he provides them with sustenance and clothing, then verily they shall become a veil, a guard between him and Jahannam. They will protect him, they will become means of protecting him from entering Jahannam wal-iyadu billah. Islam had given women as a mother special rights that are not found anywhere else. The Prophet ﷺ was questioned by a man, who among the people deserves the best of my companionship? In other words, today, who's my best friend? Who should be my best friend? My friend in school, someone who, you know, my neighbor. He told him, the Prophet ﷺ, your mother. So the man said, okay, my mother first. Then he wanted to know who's next. He said, then who? Then he told him again, your mother. Then the man said, that's fine. He asked for a third time. Okay, after my mother twice, then who? He told him for a third time, your mother. Then he asked him the fourth time, he said, Abuk, then your father. This is why among the ulama, the position which is held, that the mother has the three times the right of a father. It doesn't mean that you ignore the father, but it means that the mother is given the rights triple. Due to the fact the Prophet ﷺ told them, your mother, then your father. He made the father at the end. Because the father didn't bear the child. The father didn't deliver the child. The father didn't stay up at night while the child was crying. He didn't nurse him, didn't change him. We don't do anything. We go out to work, make some money, pay the bills. Khalas. Maybe once a week you may carry your son. And as soon as he vomits on you, you say, take your son. Take your son, I don't want to carry this guy anymore. 3 riyals, ghasil kawi. Every time I carry him, he pukes on me, he spits on me. We don't care. If you are tired at 2 in the morning, and your young infant starts to cry, you as a man, you're able to go back to sleep. You listen to him say, I have a meeting tomorrow morning, no problem. But can a mother hear her child crying at 2 in the morning and go back to sleep? No way. No matter how tired she is, she can't do it. By instinct, we can do it, they can't do it. This is the nature of women in regards to their children. So consequently, she was given the right three times fold. Continuing with the rights of a woman in Islam as a wife. As a wife, she has many rights which are, you know, really not, we're not really taking care of them today, Allah musta'an, such as being treated with honor and respect and kindness. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was addressing the largest gathering of Muslims in Hajjatul Wada' prior to his death sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the last stages of Islam, the biggest gathering of Sahaba ever in one location, among the things which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam made emphasis on was istawsu bin nisa'i khayra, meaning take care of your women folks, be mindful of your women folks. Verily they are like captives. You know, war captives, they are equal to war captives in with you. Meaning, they are in need. It's your responsibility to clothe them, feed them, and so on and so forth. So this right was given to the woman in this very important time. Furthermore, even if this woman is a stranger to you, even if she's a stranger, meaning she's not related to you, the Prophet ﷺ said, the one who maintains the armala, the widow, or al-miskeen, someone who is in need, very poor person, then he is equal in the sight of Allah like the one who is doing jihad every day. Like, then he explained, like the one who fasts all day and does not break his fast, and like the one who prays all night and does not go to sleep. If you maintain a widowed woman financially, in the sight of Allah, you're equal to someone who is struggling in the case of Allah, in the cause of Allah. Then you are also equal to the one who prays all night and doesn't go to sleep, and he fasts all day and he doesn't break his fast. I mean, you cannot get more reward than that. This is by giving maybe a few hundred riyals to a widowed woman who does not have anyone to take care of her. So no other religion will consider a woman in this particular fashion. Furthermore, in terms of their social status, women in Islam were not allowed to be given off in marriage in what we know today as arranged marriages. Where the father, you know, thinks that his daughter should marry X person, even if his daughter does not want this person. Culturally, this happens all the time. Islamically, this is haram. In fact, according to the ulama, if a father forces his daughter to marry a man whom she does not want to marry, this marriage is looked at Islamically as invalid. They're almost in a haram relationship because she is not lawful to him. Consequently, the Prophet ﷺ said, the woman who is not a virgin, is not to be given off in marriage until her opinion is sought. And he said, the virgin should not be given in marriage until they ask for her permission as well. They said, how do we know? Because virgins are shy. He said, if she remains silent. If they tell her, if her father says, I want you to marry such and such person, and she doesn't say anything, that is an indication of her approval. If she voices her opinion and says no, then no. No. Now, in the father cannot force this upon his daughter. How is the marriage going to be successful when she's going to be with a man whom she doesn't like? I mean, just think about it. She will be oppressed and the man will be oppressed. So, culturally we're doing very odd things. Islamically, this is the ruling based on the hadith in Bukhari. Furthermore, the Prophet ﷺ used to consult women, his wives, at the most critical situations. And today it is considered culturally again a deficiency. If a man referred to his wife, they say, you know what, you don't know how to make your own decisions. But in fact, you all know the Sulh of Hudaybiyah, when the Prophet ﷺ was to do Umrah, along with, I believe, the 60th year of Hijrah. They were to want to do Umrah. The Quraishis prevented them from going to the Al-Bayt, and we had the Sulh of Hudaybiyah, that agreement they had with Quraishis. Anyways, the Prophet ﷺ had told the companions to shave their heads and slaughter their animals. And they didn't, they had such strong feelings against them being prevented from the Kaaba that they did not automatically carry out his command. He went inside and Ummu Salama radiallahu anhu ardaha was there. He told, I have told them, they have not listened. She said, go back out and don't say anything to them. Call your barber and have him shave your head. When he did that sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Sahaba all hastened to carry out the sunnah, even though they were about to cut themselves with the blades because of them rushing to obey the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Who advised him? Ummu Salama. He receives the revelation from Allah. He's the most knowledgeable man to ever walk on the planet. However, he sought advice from his wife. And her advice was correct and it worked. So one of us should not feel that he is too intelligent or too special or too mannish to ask his wife for advice. Very often they give you advice better than what we think of. Now, she may sometimes give you the wrong advice, right? Sometimes women, they are emotional. But the idea is that you consult them. Then you could use your own mind to see whether her advice is correct or not. But the idea is that seeking advice from women or consultation was something that Islam had acknowledged. Furthermore, economically speaking, Islamically, a woman has the right to own her own business, to run a business. She has the right to own her own property. Her income or salary is strictly hers. Believe it or not, up until the year 1865 in England, women were not allowed to own a property. They were not allowed to own their own salary. Everything they had belonged to their husbands or their fathers or their brothers. A woman had no right legally to own anything, no possession. This was what? Some 100 years ago. Islam gave her these rights 1400 years ago, the right to own a property. If your wife is a millionaire and your salary is 2000 riyals, Islamically your wife does not have to give you a halala. If she likes to do so out of kindness from her, to help you as her husband, her reward is with Allah. Islamically, she has no obligation to give you a single riyal. Because it's your obligation to spend on her, it is not her obligation to spend on you. Come on now. Where will you find this anywhere but in Islam? Nowhere in the world. And the list goes on. Then the Shaykh went on to say, O believers, these are some of the things that worry the West. The Western societies who are striving day and night, 24/7, to destroy us in the various ways and forms, directly, indirectly, in the many ways that they are finding possible. Some of them through us, some of them they channel through Muslims who are either ignorant or have some evil intentions, a'udhu billah, and they wind up aiding in the destruction of the ummah by adopting these new ideologies and propagating them to the Muslims. Instead of taking them to the Quran and the Sunnah, they take them to this homemade junk. And so people think that they are liberating the woman, while in fact they are oppressing them. And so today the Shaykh was speaking about this havoc, this talk that is on the internet, it's on the television, it's in newspapers, magazines, everywhere you go, women's rights, women's rights, women's rights. They're trying to liberate the Muslim woman from so-called oppression. And the Sheikh went on to elaborate how these people are, in fact, they have double standards. And their claim is nothing but statements. If you were to evaluate the essence, you will find it to be exactly the opposite. So then they put her, the Sheikh said, here's the condition of the women in the West, in the Western societies, in these disbelieving societies. First of all, she is a merchandise. She is a product. If they wanted to sell anything, a woman or a half-naked woman should be there in the picture. If they want to sell you a car in the Western world, they put a half-naked woman in bikini lying on the hood of the car, as if you're buying the woman, not the car. If they want to buy you a razor, which we shouldn't be buying for our beards, they have a woman shaving the beard of a man. If they want to sell you a shoe, they'll have a woman wear a man's shoe. If they want to sell you a Snickers candy bar, there must be a woman standing there and smiling. Why? Because if they put someone like me, no one will buy it. If they put a man with a beard, you know, with a Snickers, they say, whoa, this is a terrorist candy bar, don't buy it anymore. But they put a woman, ala tul. It's just like a sickness. So what is the woman really doing? She's being used. Now she thinks she's special and she got on TV, she got in the newspaper, but in fact she is being used as a product in order to make money. And they give her money to shut her up. But is this really liberation? Is this liberation, being enslaved by the society, consumer society, so everything can be sold on the expense of the woman's honor and dignity? Would any one of us feel comfortable that his mother comes on TV, you know, advertising a candy bar, or his daughter, or his wife? No, we would not. You know, let the people never buy this product if my family member is going to be used as means of selling these products. But this is what she is. So then they bring him anywhere you go. Newspapers, magazines, TV, the different shows, the soap operas, products, anything you want to get today, there must be some woman in the background. If there isn't a woman in the background, this business will not run today. And so the women are being oppressed in this fashion. So they have wronged her, and they have taken her from what is rightfully hers. What is right for the woman? What is right for the woman that she is always taken care of by a man? Just look at this. When the young infant girl is born, who's responsible for her? Her father. Okay? If she grows old enough to get married, who becomes responsible for her? Her husband. Before that, if she didn't get married yet and her father died, who becomes responsible for her? Her brother. If the brother died and the father, she became, and her husband died and she has children, who becomes responsible for her? Her son. At any point in time, there must be a man somewhere in this community that will take care of this woman. But today, they don't want that to happen. So they take her out of this right, which was rightfully hers, and they make her go earn her own living. And now she strives like the men do, going to work, working 8 hours a day, which she cannot handle. Get a maid to take care of the children, which is not good. Who do you want to raise your children? A maid or your wife? Who knows the children more, a maid or the mother? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. So the women are out there striving and struggling and sweating like men do, and the house has been broken. Children don't have adequate care. Mother is not there to give this emotional nutrition which no other woman can give except the mother. So the children are raised lacking emotions. Where do they find this love? They find it with the other gender. So the boy gets a girlfriend and the girl gets a boyfriend, and you know where that leads, and the family is destroyed. Why? Because somebody fooled this woman that you must go out and work. Now we do understand that in some situations, a woman may work. She may need to work because of the situation, but this is not the asl. This is not the fundamental principle. This is an exception to the rule. The asl is that you and I go to work and the woman remain at home. In the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed Adam and Eve, He said, يُخْرِجَنَّكُمَا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ فَتَشْقَى. He spoke in the dual, Muthanna, to Adam and Eve, that Shaitan, be careful of Shaitan, he will take you out of Jannah, فَتَشْقَى إِنَّ مُفْرَدٍ in the singular, then you Adam will have to suffer. The ulama say this is an indication that when they were both taken out, it's not the job of Hawa radiallahu anha to earn a living, it is the job of Adam. Because Allah said, فَتَشْقَى, you will bear the responsibility. And so they try to deprive her of their right, and consequently the household is destroyed. So women are being sent out in order to destroy the society within. And you try to go to any of these marketplaces and do a statistics on how many men are there versus women, you will find that the percentage is like 10 men versus 90. 10% of men, 90% of women. The whole family goes out for shopping. The mother and the daughter and the younger one and the aunt and the whole thing, a whole entourage of women and one poor man trying to maintain all. Why? Everybody going out half jilbab, you know, what they call a jilbab. They call it a hijab. It's nonsense. It's worse than no clothing. Everything is adorned, everything has funky adornment and you know, jewelry, colorful stuff, you know, blankets under the thing and see-through, half of her hair showed, makeup, full makeup, tight clothing, you know, showing her waist and her body, feet, high heels. You go to the supermarket to shop, you come back with half of your iman with you, and the other half you left at the shopping center. You can't even buy a product anymore without being exposed to at least 50 women who don't fear Allah. And these women may be our relatives. So whose responsibility is it? It's our responsibility. And we limit this kind of behavior. We don't need a whole family to go shopping. You go shopping. And if you're such a bad shopper, some of us really can never find the right product, bring a woman with you, a single one who knows what you need, but who is dressed properly. And this is enough, if you're able to do so. If your mother forces you, you better listen to your mother. Okay, this is always, whenever we speak of women, this is your wife, your daughter. When it comes to the mom, you have to be quiet. If she says, I want to go with 10 family members, you better listen to your mom and go with the whole family. This is in order to be dutiful to your mother. Other than that, if you have the final call, leave the woman at home and go shopping on your own. Barakallah feek. Tayyib. So these people, then today we're having individuals among us, among this society, who are trying to replicate the statements of the old. Whatever they hear in the West, they want to implement it amongst us, claiming that they are liberating the woman, but in fact they're trying to take her into the same horrible position that she has been placed in the West. And Allah said concerning this, كَذَلِكَ قَالَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ مِثْلَ قَوْلِهِمْ تَشَابَهَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ قَدْ بَيَّنَّا الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يُقِنُونَ. Such have said those who preceded them. Then Allah said, their hearts are alike. Their hearts resemble each other, and because their hearts resembled each other, their statements were the same. And you know, this kind of statement, when you say something is similar to something that a disbeliever says, meaning your heart is inclining towards disbelief according to how much you accept from his teachings versus the Quran and the Sunnah. This is a very subtle disease which may be available among some of the Muslims who don't pay attention to this very important element. Us and the disbelief are on two opposite sides. We can never come together. We have our standards, and disbelief have their own standards. Ours are from Allah and given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Theirs are from philosophers and wicked individuals. And we have to make a choice. Who do we follow and who do we obey? We should know that those people are exerting tremendous effort in order to destroy the women from within. And this is something that they're working on all the time. So they make it appear that a woman who is at home, who's taking care of her children, who's obeying her husband, is a woman who is in fact in prison. She is in prison. And her husband is like the guardian of the prison. You know, lashing her whenever he wants and cutting her with the sword whenever he likes. It's as if she is a victim. And so they claim, let's take this woman out of this prison. And what is their concept of releasing her from prison, liberating her from prison? Don't listen to your husband. You don't have to remain at home. You don't have to raise the children. This is a burden on you. Go out and be equal to men. You are equal to men. And so you hear equality, equality. We don't have equality. We have equity between men and women in Islam. As in, there are areas where there's equality and there are areas where we have been, as men, given different rulings than women. Equality means everything is the same. And this is not the case. Needless to say. So then the brother said, or the Shaykh, may Allah preserve him, said, today they have brought something that they call, you know, the Committee of Women's Rights. And what they do is they present a case to the people and that they let the people voice their opinions. Then they come and say, okay, we will provide you with the solution. The Shaykh said, is this solution based on the Quran and the Sunnah? No. This solution is based on the ideologies of the foreigners. So they come and claim that they are actually resolving a matter which involves our women, but in fact they are doing exactly the opposite by shackling her with handcuffs and then claiming that they have indeed freed her. Now the problem with that is some of our women believe that. Some of our own women, when they're being fed this poison over and over again, they start believing the lies. They start believing that in fact she is oppressed, that she should be going out, and so on and so forth, until we lose control of the household. And when the woman starts having these new understandings of the deen, then it becomes very difficult to keep the family together. So then it makes it binding on us as brothers to maintain this all the time. What is upon you and me is that we do not give them any room. The reason why they have made it so far is because we have not guarded our rights. We have not implemented Islam in our lives. That gave them gaps. Through the gaps they try to come in. How do we prevent them? By closing the gaps. How do we close the gaps? By us treating women the way they deserve to be treated. By giving them their rights. So you don't turn your wife into a punching bag, as some men do. Every time he's upset at work, he comes home and he beats his wife. This is nonsense. This is not allowed in Islam. Or other individuals who continually scream at their wives or oppress them or make them feel, you know, different things that we may do directly or indirectly. We need to stop that. Because when we stop that, then the woman will voice their opinion that I don't need you to liberate me, I'm already liberated at home. But when we don't do that, and they hear these other people saying, come out, and she looks at her husband and she realizes that he is oppressing her, then she will want to go out. She will want to go to these human rights, women's rights. And then we lose the battle. So then it begins with us, each one on his own, with his own wife, with his own daughter. We need to know how to raise them according to the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wasn't a violent man. He was not a violent man. Even though he had at some point 11 wives, and he died having 9 wives sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they all were jealous of each other. He never allowed the jealousy to reach an extent where it was beyond anyone's control. This was the wisdom of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom we are expected to follow and imitate. So then we should be careful of then wronging them. The Shaykh was reminding us that if you wrong your wife or your sister or your daughter, that know that Allah will hold you to account on the Day of Judgment. And that you may come with prayer and zakah and hajj and sawm and umrah, and you come having wronged your wife or your daughter or your sister, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make your deeds haba'an manthura, scattered dust. Scattered dust. It doesn't hold anything. It doesn't weigh anything. It will be of no avail on the Day of Judgment. And Allah says, and those who harm the believing men and the believing women, unrightly, without any due right that they have committed, then verily they have taken it upon themselves to carry buhtanan, slander, wa ithman mubina, and clear sin, if we oppress the believing men and the believing women. And remember that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he passed away, among the things he used to say, istawsu bin nisa'i khayra. Take care of your women folks, reminding the Muslim ummah to take care of the women folks. And so then everyone should be given their right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not approve that a man oppresses another human being. He does not even allow that a man oppresses an animal. In fact, He does not even allow that an animal oppresses an animal. And in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on the Day of Judgment, everyone will retrieve his right from the other. Even the goat or the sheep that had a horn will come and retrieve its right from the one which didn't have a horn. when they were bumping each other's heads. The one that had a horn and caused more damage, the other one that was damaged will get his right back on the Day of Judgment, then Allah will turn him into turaba. And according to this, the ulama say the last ayah in Surah An-Naba, وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. When they see that the animals have turned into dust, the kafir will wish that he also will be turned into dust, so he will not be taken to Jahannam. You see? So then the point being is that we need to, you know, we need to treat them with honor. We need to realize that Jannah lies under the feet of our mothers, and that we, if we treat our wives adequately, then we will be among the best of the believers, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And that if we have children, daughters, they are means for us to be protected from Jahannam and permitted to Jannah, which is ultimately what everybody wants in this world. So with this, the Shaykh, may Allah reward him with goodness, concluded this khutbah. And I guess a notification concerning the two previous khutab, which the Shaykh really wanted you brothers to know about. It may be, inshallah, if you all remain alive and nothing happens to me, that next week, inshallah, we will translate the previous khutab, which had passed in the previous weeks, dealing with the family in Islam and the differences between husband and wife, which are important matters that we need to be aware of. So that's one thing. Secondly, it's amazing how I and the Shaykh seem to always be on the same page without even realizing it. Just recently we had a lecture dealing with the title, Is This Sister Going to Jannah? It was held at the International Medical Center. This lecture is available on YouTube, on the website onewaytoparadise.net. So if you go to onewaytoparadise.net, you click on new lectures, there's a lecture called Is This Sister Going to Jannah? It's a whole hour and a half lecture on the rights of women in Islam, what is expected of the woman in Islam, and very much similar to what the Shaykh mentioned with further elaboration. And concerning the previous ones, the rights between husband and wife, there's the same lecture on the website called Clothing for One Another, and you can find it on YouTube as well. Titled Clothing for One Another, dealing with the nature of the relationship between a husband and his wife in Islam. So Jazakumullah khairan for your patience. I apologize again for being absent for so many weeks beyond my control. We ask Allah to pardon us for our shortcomings and accept our deeds. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.